My name is Barbara Johnson, and the name of this session is Why Do We Cheat and Who Cares? Yeah, I think that's all I have to say about that. Okay, what you're going to write on your paper, and some people have already done it, is the whatever comes into your head when you hear the word cheating. It can be one word, two words, but no longer than a sentence. Just something short and snappy, top of your head. We'll share them, those who would like to. I'm sort of an expert on cheating, and I'll tell you how I got to be that way. I've heard about a lot, and I've done my share, too. Here's from Melissa back there. Do you need a pen or pencil? Okay. First, I'd like you to imagine that you're a college senior, and you're about to graduate, and you've got just one more semester to go, but there's one required course that you've never been able to get. It's always closed, but you can't graduate without it. Okay, you're juggling a job and your classes, and you've got to pay the rent, and you've got to pay the payments on your car, and your sorority dues, because you belong to a sorority. And your sorority sisters are working on registration this year. And they can get, you know what's going to happen. Have you done that? You don't have to answer. Because they're working on registration, they have access to all those nice little tickets, those class tickets, so they can get the classes before anybody else can register, and they can get one for you, and then you're guaranteed. As a matter of fact, this year there's a whole network of sorority and fraternity members who are going to do that for all their brothers and sisters.
You mean they're going to get them into the class?
They're going to get the question. Yeah. Before anybody else gets to register, you get in, no problem. Okay, is that cheating? Is that wrong? Suppose it comes out that this is going on and your name's in the paper.
You're in trouble.
Does that make any difference? Okay, this happened on my campus where I teach, Cal State Northridge, about 3 years ago. And it was exactly that way, you know. Students sometimes cheat to get in college. Well, they were cheating to get out because it was almost impossible to graduate in 4 years the way the classes are. And you could say, you know, it's the university's fault. They should have more classes. They should open more sections. But that's what was going on. So that was one of the scandals. Okay, and when it happened, I gave that idea to Augsburg Publishing House, and they said, yeah, they would like a book on cheating, but they wanted, you know, all kinds of cheating, not just academic cheating. So that's how I got started. And I did a lot of reading. I talked to people. I handed out questionnaires. And I did a lot of listening. And that's how I became an expert in cheating. Now, if you pick up any newspaper, probably in the last year, maybe even longer than that, you'll probably find something about cheating in the paper or ethics. And I just went to the library here and picked up one copy of Christian Science Monitor, and there's two articles in there which apply to what we're talking about here. And this, you're not supposed to take these papers out of the library, so I'm cheating by taking this even though I'm going to return it. Okay, the first one says, experts concerned over U.S. ethics. We've got people from various think tanks saying it's the worst that it's ever been, the level of ethics in the U.S. now. Another one is blaming it on the 60s, the way the kids were raised in the 60s. Oh, you don't think that's true, huh? Nobody knows for sure. The second article, there's two articles in here. It's about an ethics professor at Stanford. His name is Ronald Howard. He says ethics is crucial to human survival. When you lose your standard, your word, what you stand for, you lost everything. And he says people are very confused now, and they're not sensitive to what's right and wrong. Okay, what I'm going to do during this session, I'm going to ask you a lot of questions, because you already know a lot about cheating and ethics and what you think is right and wrong. And we're just going to kind of work through this. We're going to talk about why we cheat, Why do people do it? Are there any good reasons to cheat? There are plenty of good reasons not to cheat, and we'll talk about that too. First of all, what is cheating? What did you write down? Those of you who came in late, didn't get a piece of paper. How many people are in that category? 1, 2. Ted, you didn't get a piece of paper. Well, I'll just pass them out. If you need a paper, pencil, I've got a few left. Let me know. So what is cheating? What came to mind when you heard the word cheating? Somebody like to share what you wrote down?
I put down selling out of self.
Selling out of self, okay. Selling out, wait till I get these down. Selling out self, losing integrity.
Dishonesty. Getting something you didn't work for.
Integrity, honesty. Didn't work for it. Did somebody say lying?
Yeah.
Okay. Lying, deceiving, yeah. Okay.
Acquiring something that doesn't belong to you.
Okay. It's almost like stealing then. Can I put down stealing to save words? I'll put it in quotes. Okay, anything else that's cheating or that you think of when you think of cheating?
Taking advantage of.
Okay, advantage, yeah. Okay, selling out of self.
Self-justifying.
Self?
It's easy to talk yourself into self-justifying.
Okay.
Like the situation that you described on your camera.
Okay, in other words, it's easy. Easy to cheat, it's easy to sell out yourself, is that what you're saying?
Well, you can rationalize that it's okay.
Yeah, okay. Easy and it's okay. Yeah. Okay, that's what I think makes it a really interesting subject, is because there's no, you can't say never cheat, because maybe sometime you have to cheat to save someone's life. It's possible. Okay, I think that the next subject is, you know, who gets hurt? Okay, if you sell out yourself, who gets hurt? Yeah, yeah, that's kind of obvious there. Okay, if you lose integrity, you still. Yeah. Is there anybody else? Can you think of anybody else who gets hurt when you sell out yourself? How do they get hurt? Okay, so in other words, the person you cheated, anybody else?
Well, I mean, and even people who look up to you.
Okay.
Opinion.
Yeah, people that look up to you. You're a role model. You are a role, everybody in this room is a role model for I don't know how many people. Okay, you're hurting them. Okay, you didn't work for it. Who are you hurting? Okay, who said that? Let's go into that.
I said that, and after I said that, I thought, that sounds like grace. You didn't work for that either.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But that's not what I was thinking of when I said, so getting something.
Getting something for nothing?
Yeah, getting something for nothing, and sometimes that's all right. I realize that. But when everybody else has to work for it, and you get it for nothing, it doesn't seem...
Doesn't seem fair.
Doesn't seem fair.
Randy?
About that.
Yeah. Okay.
So does that mean if I buy a dollar lottery ticket and win $1 million, I didn't work for that $1 million? Is that cheating?
Okay, a wonderful example.
Yeah.
A wonderful example. Let's hear from people. Is gambling cheating? You're not working for it. Maybe you don't deserve it. Maybe you're a good gambler.
Well, that risk is offered to you by whoever owns the place.
Okay, there's a risk.
Everybody else gets the same chance.
Mm-hmm. Everybody gets the same chance.
They can buy a ticket, too.
Not really.
Why not?
Who in Harlem could afford a buck?
Some people maybe can't even afford a lottery ticket. Yeah.
But they buy it anyway.
Yeah, right. They're the ones who buy the most. Yeah. Okay. That's a big question, a difficult question. I'm not here to answer questions. I'm here to raise questions. I'll answer a few. Okay. It's easy to talk ourselves into saying it's okay. You know, justification. You know, the student who wants to graduate. What about the everyone is doing it argument? And they sure were. There were lots of them doing it. And it becomes okay. What about people who don't know the difference between right and wrong? There's an article in the LA Times about high school students that had direct quotes using their names and everything, and they said they didn't see anything wrong with cheating in high school. And they got away with it all the time. Who?
The ones that cheat.
The ones that cheat don't like the good students? Why not?
Well, unless they're getting their papers.
Oh, do you mean to copy off of?
It runs down. The honor student's afraid to admit he is because the rest of them like him.
Yeah, how do the honor students who are not cheating feel about the cheaters? And suppose you work really hard and you get A's and A pluses, and there's someone else who's cheating who doesn't study and is also getting A's.
Most unfair.
Most unfair. We're back to that unfairness thing.
The people who are the honor students know that they're really, what they're getting, they've got forever. And people who are cheating really don't have anything except the grade on the paper.
Yeah. Yeah, how many high school students look at it that way?
Our son did.
Your son did? Mm-hmm. Good. Good. I always tell my students, what good is a diploma from a school where people are cheating? You know, you get right down to the diploma is meaningless if cheating is rampant in a school. And you...
The people who get out of that.
Yeah, okay, we're talking about tarnished reputation, yeah. Okay, is there anything else here? Stealing, obviously you're hurting whoever you're stealing from. You're taking advantage of them.
Whoever's at a disadvantage.
Okay, what are some reasons that people cheat? Let's put those on the board. What brings people to that point? That they
sometimes
want it?
For existence.
Okay, it's absolute existence.
Forced choice.
Survival. Existence. Better opportunities. Get ahead.
No, I mean there's just an opportunity to cheat for the
paper. Oh, I see. You can see the paper or whatever the kind of cheating you're going to do. Okay.
I mean these people knew there was a chance they could go get this class registration.
My school has taken a real serious approach to cheating, and they have a statement in the catalog. And my department, journalism department, asks us to put that on the syllabus and to be sure that we read it to our students. And when we give them tests, to ask them to put all their books and purses and everything in front of the room. Because they say that just mentioning it to students and erasing that opportunity will keep them from cheating. Mm-hmm. It's just like you just reminded them that that's wrong. And if you don't say anything, then things are different. Okay, what are some other reasons that people would cheat?
External pressures are like a force, they feel like it's a forced choice.
Okay, can you think of an example?
I'm thinking of pressure from family to succeed, say a medical student or be a medical student or something like that. I can't think of any.
Okay, there's all kinds of pressures in school.
And games to win.
Okay, games to win, yeah. It's not for the fun of playing, but it's for winning. Okay, that's another criticism of the generation that's just coming out of school now. They want to win.
Yeah, I guess the winner has the most A's.
Yeah. The winner has the most toys. The winner with the most toys, let's see, there's something about when the person who dies with the most toys is dead. No, there's a new one. Is dead.
Okay,
we are...
I used to have students that said that
that they cheated because it was such a challenge, and I always thought that was a bunch of BS.
Yeah, I got
the only
that.
The reason that they cheated was because they didn't have the answer.
I got questionnaires from students who told me some ingenious ways that they cheated, and they talked about the challenge too. One of them etched the answers on a piece of chewing gum, and if caught, would chew it. And they also would put formulas in their little calculators and memories and could call them up and things like that.
And the thrill of getting away with something.
Yeah, that's part of it, yeah. Yeah, the thrill. It's really getting away. Yep.
Well, the pastor who confirmed me was talking about past cases where some of his students had cheated or attempted.
You mean confirmation students?
Yeah, confirmation.
Oh, okay. Can we have confirmation students cheating on
and
their tests?
One of his comments was some of their techniques involved going to so much work, they might just as well have
studied.
Yeah.
With this one, I heard from people about cheating. I put an ad in a journal, and I got answers from a lot of people who wanted to tell me about their experiences in cheating, either being cheated or cheating. And this young man in London, he said it was a challenge, and he said that after he went to all this trouble to write out all these little things, etch them in his chewing gum and everything else, sometimes he didn't even look at them, because the mere doing that helped him remember them. So he didn't even need them. Okay, the only thing I also I've got down that we haven't talked about is greed. Okay, Jan?
Retaliation.
Okay.
Revenge.
Get back. Yeah. Yeah. And who would they be getting back at?
The system? Or
someone that helped you?
Or a person, yeah.
Well, I guess The Sting was, the movie The Sting had a plot along those.
Yeah. Yeah, revenge is a popular plot in literature. And I'll do anything for that. Okay, I want to give you some examples that from my book of situations that are certainly real, and we'll sort of build on that who's getting hurt idea. We have this woman who's has small children, and she finds she's got 10 minutes before her daughter's going to come home, and then she's got to take her to ballet lessons and on and on and on. And she takes out a deck of cards and she puts them down. She's going to play some solitaire. And she's going along and she needs a black 10. And there isn't any. And so she begins peeking underneath the cards until she finds one. And then things are going along pretty well. And then she needs something else. And she wants it to come out right and easily. And so she makes it come out right. Okay, she's cheating at solitaire. Is that hurting anybody?
Establishing a habit.
Hmm?
It's establishing a habit.
Establishing a habit. Okay.
Well, Dave. Well, being able to play out.
Yeah. This woman who said that she arranged the cards so she
kept
track. She kept track. She lost like 125 times in a row. She couldn't finish her solitaire, so she arranged the cards so she could. And she said she never played solitaire again. It took the fun out of it. So, you know, you just kind of take the challenge.
No challenge.
No challenge, yeah. No challenge. And establishing a habit, an idea that, you know, it's okay. Okay, let's take it another step now. The doctor has told you got to be on the strict diet. And you also have to go to aerobics class twice a week. Okay, you're in aerobics class, you're wearing these black leotards, and you don't like the way you look in them, and everybody else has got nice colored ones, and they don't look like they even need the class. So you're standing in the back row, where the teacher can't see you. And when she says, you know, lift your legs up, maybe you don't lift them up. And when it's 10 times this, maybe you do it 5 times. And then you reward yourself with, what? Name your favorite food. Okay. Okay, you go to the snack shop and you have a hot fudge sundae. I'm from Missouri, we say sundae. Okay, is that cheating? Yeah. And yeah, you're cheating yourself. Are you hurting anybody else? You're hurting yourself.
Poor kids couldn't have that Sunday.
You're getting the price up.
You had the last ice cream, and the snack shop ran out of ice cream after you.
Well, yeah, you might be hurting. Maybe you have a child who knows what you're doing, and they grow up, and they're on a diet, and they, because they've always looked up to their parents.
Okay. Okay, we're back to the role model thing. There's somebody watching you. Somebody watching you, somebody learning about ethics from you.
And you may be depriving someone out of taking a class that really wants to.
Yeah, right, you're taking up space, yeah, for somebody. Okay.
I think there's always just their chemistry with the class.
You mean somebody else might think, oh, it's okay now not to do all these exercises.
Well, I don't know exactly how, but I just know.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. Yeah, and the teacher can't see what's going on. And then just the day before you go to the doctor, you really stick to your diet real well. And you don't even mention what your problems are. Okay, now we'll progress a little more. You're helping your child with homework. Or say that you are a child and you're helping your friend, because your friend isn't very good in math, but you are. You're not only helping them, you're actually doing their homework. You're doing a big art project for your child. Now, are you hurting anybody there? How are you hurting your child? Child's going to get a good grade and going to see what a great job you did and maybe learn how to do it by watching you. Is that going to work? Somebody's shaking your head.
They don't learn anything from that except just following the same footsteps of doing it.
They getting somebody to
they don't learn anything from it either way. They aren't learning by not doing their own work.
Okay, but you're trying to help somebody, you're just trying to help. Can anybody argue that it's okay? Okay to help somebody? Dan?
I think there's a tension between of course there's a lot of tutorial work that's done in my university, and I'm sure in yours too. And there's a very fine line between what is beneficial and what is detrimental in that tutorial work. So that when you begin doing the work for the student, rather than helping the student develop the capacity to do his or her own work, then it's detrimental. But I think that parental help and homework and so on, that can sometimes be very positive as long as it continues to be the child's work.
Yeah. Okay, we're talking about a lot of fine lines here. You've got to know where they are. Yeah. Dave, were you going to say something else?
I think that was
okay.
Basically what she said.
Okay, now we're filling out our income tax. They've cut back your hours at work, and so your pay is low, you can barely cover the mortgage, but you've got a moonlighting job, and your employer is paying you under the table. So you know that if you don't report it on your income tax, you're going to save a little money. You need everything because you've got children to feed and you've got mortgage to pay. Okay, who are you hurting if you fill out your income tax and don't report that extra money? Think of all the bombs it won't be built. Okay, you're depriving the government of money so they can build bombs. Anything else?
You're hurting your conscience too.
Oh, conscience. Okay, let's talk about conscience. What is your conscience?
Your right state of mind. Your guilt.
Guilt.
There. Actually, you know what's right, you know what's wrong. But, there's a song that goes, I used to sing it, and I learned it in a choir. You know, Lord, whether I'm right, whether I'm wrong. And he knows it.
Okay, that's what our conscience is.
Yeah. Conscience.
Anybody else have anything to say about a conscience? What is a conscience? Okay.
Isn't that one socialization by parents or other significant others as that child's growing up?
Okay, it's something that builds inside.
That other people teach a child what's acceptable and what isn't.
Okay, there's some people who don't have a conscience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in working on this book, I interviewed a man in Coon Rapids, Minnesota, who'd been in prison for 12 years and been raised in the carnival, and he felt his mother hated him. The only thing they had ever done together was be shot out of a cannon together. he did not have a conscience. I mean, he started stealing cars when he was like 13, and bank robbing, and you know, lots of things he got caught for, but a lot of things he didn't. He really didn't have a conscience. He did not think it was right or wrong. He would go into houses and steal things, and he never thought about those people, how they felt.
Is it he didn't think about them, or he just resolved not to listen or not to even care about
well,
because that's a, you know, that's a fine line. I know people who, you know, who do things like that. They know it's wrong, but they'll do it anyway.
Oh yes,
I think
that's
society,
another.
It's very apparent what's considered proper behavior, but that doesn't bother many people.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think maybe we're talking about three different categories of people who know it's wrong will do it anyway. Now, all I can go is what he said, because he's now rehabilitated. He's after being in isolation cell for 97 days or something like that in prison, and he doesn't call it. He says he doesn't believe in rehabilitation, but something told him that there's a better life, and he wanted to live differently. He just wanted to live a regular life, and so he's talking now about the way he felt when he was a teenager and so forth, and he says he didn't think it was wrong. So it's hard to imagine, but. Okay, another thing, and I'm surprised nobody, when I ask,
I just have a question, because maybe you'll get into this in more detail. Just that whole issue of conscience is just kind of fascinating. I don't know anything about it. Can people develop a conscience without, you know, direct interaction with other loved ones, or do you know, I mean, I've probably done studies on stuff like that.
Yeah, I've read a lot about conscience, and it seems like nobody really knows for sure, and I certainly don't agree. But it seems like a conscience develops in children like around, I think it's 6 or 7. Up to that time, they really don't have a conscience. I wish I had my manuscript here. I didn't have a chance to read my manuscript over. Yeah, as I remember, they develop to the point. I've got to remember now this chapter. See, I sent in this manuscript before I left, and I haven't looked at it since. That's about 2 months. It's going to be published in the fall. As I recall, that there's something very like a conformity. Children want to conform. They want to do what other children are doing. Then they reach a point where they will make their own decisions. I think it's around 6 or 7. A conscience is, you know, is conscience the voice of God inside of you? And does the conscience speak louder? Can it be ignored completely? I think when whoever mentioned guilt, you know, sometimes we put too much guilt on ourselves, and maybe that's a false conscience. And how do we know when it's real or not? All these things have to be looked at very carefully. Okay, when we were talking about what came to your mind with the word cheating, nobody mentioned cheating in relationships. I thought somebody would say that, because when I was writing this book, almost everybody thought I was writing about cheating on your husband or wife. And examples that I got from people who wanted to tell me about their problems in cheating related to that. And usually it was, you could put it under the category of unwritten contracts. They didn't communicate with each other. So one was cheating on a contract that they didn't even know about. One was following this script and had never told the other person what that script was, what their role was. And the one woman that I interviewed quite a bit, she was a student of mine. I was teaching for a while at Pepperdine University, and she was a returning student. She was 37, and she had a background of alcoholism and drug addiction, and she sang with a rock band. She turned herself around, was going to school, she was making all A's, and she was going to have this wonderful career in advertising. So the next time I saw her, after she was in my class, I saw her in the parking lot at school, and she said, "Yeah, I'm in love, I've never been in love like this before." She said, "I'm going to do all the things now that most young women do. I'm going to graduate next year, I'm going to get married, and we're going to have babies." And she was just delighted. Okay, that was her script, her contract. About 6 months later, I talked to her on the phone. She was pregnant. The baby was due a week after graduation, and her boyfriend had said he didn't love her anymore, and he was gone. So he didn't know about that contract. And unfortunately, I can't tell you the end of the story, because last time I called her on the phone, it was an answering service, and she didn't answer. So I don't know what happened, but you know, so often it's an unwritten contract that they're cheating on. I don't know, does anybody have any comments on that subject?
Well, you're talking about in terms of extramarital things. I think in, as far as that category goes, many of the things that involved in the cheating would be things with, I mean, some of the things that were mentioned might fit in that.
You mean these here?
Well, I think
revenge, retaliation, thrill of getting away with that? I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Opportunity. The opportunity is there. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, let's go all the way up now to corporate cheating. You're president of a big automobile company in Detroit, and your head engineer gives you a memo and says that this model that you're rushing to get out in the market has a problem with the gas tank. It's in a bad position, so if there's a rear-end collision, it'll explode, and the people in the car are going to be in great danger. Okay, but it can be fixed. I mean, it'll cost maybe about between $5 and $10 per car to fix it, but you're going to have to retool the whole line, and you're going to have to delay the introduction in the market, and you've already got your advertising campaign going, and your competitor is breathing heavily right behind you. So you look at some figures, and the National Highway Association tells you that a life is worth $200,000, and you've got good insurance to take care of lawsuits. So you decide, since you're a multi-million dollar corporation, that you can handle it, and you tell the engineer to forget it. Okay. Is that cheating? And who's going to get hurt?
The company.
The company?
Well, I think it did.
It did hurt the company eventually, yeah. Yeah. This was exposed in Mother Jones magazine, and the example they gave was a woman in Minnesota driving on a freeway who was hit. She was killed, and the young man with her, you know, was burned so badly they had to practically rebuild his face. Somebody is making decisions. Somebody is cheating at high levels, and it's affecting you and me.
It's greed.
And yeah, basically, it's greed. Randy.
It's real interesting. There was a play back in the early 50s about that called All My Sons with Edward Dean Robinson. The whole scenario is the same thing about this guy building fighter pilots that he knew was defective during the war, and he killed many, many people. And he finally became exposed in the 70s, and he did the only thing he felt he could do. He shot himself.
Yeah. I remember that movie, but I didn't remember the whole story. Yeah, there are all kinds of stories like that, and how many of those stories that we don't even know about? I mean, the reporter who wrote this up, you know, did a lot of digging to find out. It isn't easy to find out things like that.
And what you really don't know is that the corporate executive, my God, who really trained from his parents, who did something really seemingly insignificant.
Like cheating on their diet.
Yeah, like cheating on their diet.
Okay.
And look where it led.
Look where it led. Good point, yeah. Okay, then we got two questions here.
It's a very interesting example. Well, I'm not quite sure, though, why you call that cheating.
Oh, really? Okay.
I mean, particularly if one has the figures in front of them, that seems to be a very calculated kind of decision that says it's going to cost me less this way than this way. I'll take the chance. Why would that be?
Well, because I think that they're cheating the public by in that decision. I don't know. Let's hear from some other people. Is that cheating or isn't it?
I think there's a big element in cheating of breaking the rules. Whatever the situation is, there are certain rules. Which is why I don't think winning at the lottery is cheating, because you're playing within the rules.
According to the rules.
Now, if you break the rules.
Okay, that's a good distinction.
The rules of big business are, it doesn't matter what you do as long as your profit is good, then that guy can say to himself, I am not breaking the rules.
So he's not cheating.
So he's not cheating. And he could very well convince himself that it is outside of the realm of...
Okay, do corporations...
In the framework of cheating.
Yeah, okay. Do corporations say that they are interested in their community and they're socially responsible and that they make moral decisions? You know, if they don't say that, if they say, we're just here to make money, you're absolutely right.
So that ties in with the phrase, let the buyer beware.
Yeah. Does anybody know? Let the buyer beware. I don't know. It's been here forever. See, somebody back here had their hand up, didn't they?
Well, I just question.
Yeah. Well, then you. Then you take the kind of advertising they do about the car, you know, that is safe, and they might show a mother and a child going off in that car and how safe they'd be.
It's an assumption that it's going to be safe when you buy a car.
Right, that's an assumption, yeah. I just want to say one other thing, then I'll get to you. The Stanford ethics professor that's written up in this newspaper, he had an example of there are a lot of things that are not against the law, you know, like lying. His example was you can tell somebody, hey, the traffic cop's putting a ticket on your car. And you can run out there and find out it's not true and come and call the police and say, listen, that guy told me he lied to me. What's the charges? You know, it's not a crime to lie. And he says there's a lot of not nice things that are not crimes. There's no law against it. It's a distinction. Okay, what were you going to say?
Well, maybe in the case of the car, a lot might depend on what the consumer themselves there are all kinds of safety improvements you can make, and that would maybe double the price of the car. Would the consumer be willing to pay that?
Yeah, but in this case, it was just a matter of a few dollars, so it wasn't going to be all right.
Another example is, so what about the raising the speed limit from 55 to 65? This happened in many states in the past 2 years.
Yeah, and are people doing it? You mean they're still driving 65?
Some people have...
Let's kind of tie this in now. I think that the answer to cheating, what are we going to do about it? How can we maintain integrity in a dishonest world? I think it really comes around to loving your neighbor. This is difficult to love the cheater. Can you love somebody who's cheating you? That's the difficult part. It's also difficult to love all neighbors, but if we love them all, we're not going to cheat them. So it's, you know, it's in the Ten Commandments. That's a good reason not to cheat. And we already talked about self-esteem. You know, your self-esteem goes down. You do something, you may think of it all your life. role model, we talked about that. For the good of society, community standards, you know, are set by individuals. And every community has different standards. You probably know what the standards are in your community, and they might be different than mine. I live in Los Angeles. I'm sure they're different. But if you live in Minnesota, I know they're different. Idaho, they're different. Where I live in Los Angeles, San Fernando Valley, they're certainly different than they are in Hollywood. They're different than in Beverly Hills. So, you know, all these standards are set by people making these decisions. And how do you make the decisions? Situational decisions. I really think you've got to take each situation by itself. Randy.
One scenario I just always love is you're getting ready to pay the electric company at the end of the month. You know your paycheck is coming, but you're short, but your power is going to be turned off if you don't pay it. Is it okay to put the telephone check in the electric company bill?
Okay, is that okay?
It works every time.
Is that cheating?
Is that buying time?
That's buying time? Is there any other way to do it? I mean, can you call them up and say, will you wait a few days? A big utility company? I don't think so. I don't think you could probably even get the person who could tell you yes or no. Okay, how about blowing the whistle? You don't have any problem. You're not cheating, but your boss is. Can you blow the whistle? What if your boss is the President of the United States?
No.
You mean it isn't real? You don't have a real justification?
Oh, sure.
Oh, you do, but the reason you're doing it is...
Maybe you've been mistreated.
Okay, what usually happens to whistleblowers? Yeah, they get fired.
Yeah, they do. You know, I know someone who did, and he got a much better job and a much better place.
Great. I like to hear stories like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think that the whistleblower, you know, is sacrificial person. You're doing it for the people who come after you. Doing it for your grandchildren. Doing it for the whole community. But it's not going to be not easy. Okay, be a good example. We already talked about the role model because so many people are watching you. Okay, what I wanted to, if you still got the piece of paper and the pencil, we've got about 3 more minutes. After I got through with my book on cheating, I really got interested in the subject of greed, because I think that maybe that's a source of cheating. So I proposed another book on greed. And I would just like you to write down what comes into your mind when I say the word greed. You know, one word. Anybody else need paper? Okay, we got 2 people back there. Do you need one too? Okay. You need pencils? Okay. We got a few. Oh, sorry.
All right.
Who else needs paper? Okay. One or two words are a sentence at the most. What do you think about greed?
Selfish.
Okay, selfishness. Anybody else want to share, David?
Temporal values as opposed to eternal values.
Okay, temporal as opposed to eternal. Okay. Could you be greedy about eternal values?
Oh, well, that's interesting.
It might be okay. Anybody else?
Always wanting more.
Always wanting more, yeah, insatiable. Always want. Okay, that's good. Do you ever feel that way at the dining hall there? That there won't be enough?
Yeah. Just because there's one bowl of kind of food. We do a lot more running on Thursday night.
Is that right? Yeah, that feeling. It, future. There's not going to be enough. Okay. Anybody else? Greed. Okay. I don't know if I've answered any questions for you, but I certainly enjoyed your comments. Anybody have anything else they'd like to say? Melissa? Oh, you're fixing your hair. Susan?
Well, is there any, there isn't any universal answer then. It's just what you decide in each situation.
Well, situational ethics, I don't know if you remember, but in the 60s, Joseph Fletcher, made that very popular, and I've read a lot of his books, and he says Jesus was a situationist. And he gave examples of on the Sabbath, you know, if something had to be done, it was done.
Right.
He made a decision.
Who wrote the book?
Joseph Fletcher. Yeah. He's written several. One of them is called Situation Ethics. I don't remember the names of the other ones. So, you know, that's the only thing I can say is you've got to look at each situation, but you also have to keep your conscience, you know, in a healthy condition, and you have to be concerned about people that are watching you and concerned about your neighbors, your community, the standards, the world.
It's those moral decisions they were talking about.
Yeah, oh, this definitely goes in with those moral decision lectures, yeah.
So in Los Angeles, it would be different than Columbus, Ohio?
It might be. It might be, yeah. You know, and the old example of when it's okay to cheat or to lie is, you know, someone is hiding in your house and a murderer comes looking for them. You're not going to tell them that they're there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, lying has been defined as cheating somebody out of something that they need to know. So lying is, in my opinion, is definitely cheating. You know, and some of the other things that I covered were bribery, plagiarism, fraud, swindling. Now they're all forms of cheating. Using the copy machine when you're not supposed to. Yeah. Copy, yeah, right. Taking things out of the library that you're not supposed to.
Going back. We won't tell you.
You won't tell. Oh, it's in tape. That's right. Yeah. I'm leaving tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks so much. You've been a real good audience. I'd be glad to talk to you about some more. I think it's an interesting subject. I really have enjoyed. Oh, it'll be around maybe $5.95, something like that. It's a paperback. Yeah, you got a deal.